If you have a Bible with you, or you can follow the screen, I want to speak this morning on keeping the channel open. Keeping the channel open. Now let's pray that God will just quicken this and drive it home to us, that we won't miss anything that He wanted us to hear this morning. So Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your Word. We pray, Lord, that You would bless this, Thy Word, and bless it to my heart and to the hearts of each of us that are here. We thank You, Lord, that we pray there will be a 30-fold and maybe even a 60-fold or maybe even a 100-fold return on the Scriptures. And we'll give You thanks and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. John 15 and verse 4, abide in Me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in Me. John 15, verse 4. There's always a secret to everything. You hear somebody say, what was your secret of, how did you, gain so much muscle? What was your secret? Or what was your secret that you were able to lose so much weight? What was your secret? And so, and usually there is something. And they would say, well, it's maybe not a secret, but this is what I discovered, that if I do this and this, it produces something in my life. And so I've often, people would say this, I noticed it over the years, that they would have questions like, what is the secret of the Christian faith? What keeps you buoyant? What keeps you alive and vibrant? Well, I wrote down this, and you can take note of it or just observe it, that the secret to succeed in this life, and I've had, even in ministry life, I have now been doing this for over 40 years, so I have some idea of what works and what doesn't work, and what the secret is, and what the great men and women of God do. How did they manage to be written up, where they'll say, whether it's the secret of Hudson Taylor or anybody or Oswald Chambers, but every one of them had a secret to it. That's the interesting thing about that. They did have something that they understood, and perhaps it came as a revelation to them. Maybe they weren't even looking for the secret, but they discovered that this is what happened in their own personal lives. And so the secret to succeed in this life, and there's two parts to it, but here it is. Through an entire unconditional surrender of ourselves to Him. That's the first. I'm going to share the second part in just a moment. I'll say it again. Through an entire, in other words, total, unconditional surrender of ourselves to Him. Without exception, it doesn't matter what the background is of that person, but this is what always boils down to, that I decided to surrender myself to the Lord, all together to Him, totally given over to Him. And without that, you will not succeed. You will not succeed. Your failures and your own flesh and your own problems will swallow you up. But if you understand this at all, that it's the starting point of the greatest journey of your life. See, the Christian life is not difficult. It's impossible. It is. You can't live it. You can't do it. You know, when people come to Christ, we can say, here, now, there's a few things I should tell you. First of all, you have to learn this. Well, what part of it? All of it? All of it? Yeah. Well, you mean just the top? No, all of it. Because who can do it? Oh, there'll be a test. There'll be a test. I forgot to tell you that. No, you get overwhelmed. You cannot produce what the Bible demands that we do produce. So until you understand the secret, the surrender of our lives to Him. That's the first part. And the second part, and an entire cessation from our own efforts. I can't, by any effort that I do, make myself holy or make myself energetic or anything else it would be. So there's this unconditional surrender on, and then this entire cessation from my own efforts. I have to stop laboring. I have to stop trying. The most frustrating thing you will ever have in your life is if you try to be a victorious Christian. I'll be visiting you lots, because you'll be over at the Black Bear. You won't be far. And that's where you'll be. So frustrated. Say, why did it make it so hard? I'm trying to witness and trying to share Christ, and trying to get it right and trying to be holy and trying to be obedient. And I'm trying, and there it is. There's the word trying. This is not about trying. And those of you that are nodding, I know. It's not about trying. Wish it were. Wish there was four things that we could do here this morning and walk out and say, we got it. Don't have to worry about that anymore. No, this is important. But number one, we surrender to Him in all that we know about. I give to Him all that I know about myself. And secondly, that I stop struggling. In other words, I resign. I give up. I'm not going to try. By the way, I resigned as a pastor many, many years ago because I couldn't do it without Christ. Couldn't do it. There's just so many things. Right, so many things going on. And so somebody advised me, they said, do you ever think of just not trying, not doing what you think should be done? You know, lights came on, insight came when I realized that it wasn't up to me to rescue the whole body of Christ. It wasn't. My job, well, I'll come to that in a moment, what that is. But ceasing from our sweaty, just wounded, overwhelmed people to people who are surrendered to the Lord. That's all they know. I don't know much, but I know this. I'm surrendered to Him, and I am letting Him now work His life through me in any way He wants to work that. That's up to the Lord to do that. So those two things compiled together, it will bring you all that you've ever imagined and then some. Because you say, I get it. I get it. There are not too many people that get it, but you will be one of those that get it and understand it, that that's how the Christian life works. See, we're not doubting that it's true, that there is a cross, there is a resurrection, there's all kinds of things that we know are true. The question is, how do you make it work? That's always been the question. How do you make it work? And blessed are those that say, have an insight and said, I get it. It's not I, but Christ. Yeah, now you're getting closer. It's not I, but Christ. It's not me, it's Him. That He never did want you to live for Him. He's always wanted to live through you for Him. He never had in any mind that you were going to kill yourself trying, but that you would fling yourself upon the Savior and say, I couldn't save myself and I can't sanctify myself. What a revelation, right? What a breakthrough. You say, oh, now what's to happen? No, there's no worry, because the cross took care of our sin, did it not? The cross took care of our sin. It's not about sin. That's settled and done with. The finished work of the cross. Praise God for that. How grateful we are for that. No, I'm talking about how do we live for the Lord in a way that honors Him but doesn't make it a feverish thing for us that we kill ourselves trying to be a better person, trying to be this or trying to be that, and wondering why you're so frustrated and why you find the life so difficult. As I've said millions of times, probably from this pulpit, the Christian life is not difficult, it's impossible. And everyone who tried to live it, they are defeated in many, many ways. So, I was reading in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, where Paul said, you are the temple of God. You are the temple of God. Little insight here. So, second part of it, the Spirit of God dwells in you. The secret is to always let the Lord to come and live inside of us. And that's the nature of the new birth, I suppose. And so that we become that temple. We become that vine. We become that temple. And the Spirit of God dwells in us. And thus, there is the secret. There's someone living in me who's prepared to do the work if I let him. If I let him. His word to us is, abide in me. What a wonderful verse. Abide in me. It's one of the most important verses of the whole Bible. If you catch this, you will be on your way to victory. If you don't catch it, then you'll be on the way to frustration because you'll still be laboring for him instead of enjoying this Christian life through him and because of him. Abide in me, as he's telling the secret. John 15, verse 4. It is not near, these are some thoughts I wrote down, it is not near, nor is it with us, but just as close as the branches are to the vine. That's the secret of it. Just as close. He's more than near. He's more than with us. He's living inside of us, flowing through, accomplishing that which he desires me to do and you to do. And so, of ourselves, Jesus says, apart from the vine, you can do nothing. John 15, I think it's verse 4, or five, verse 5. Apart from me, you're the vine, he's the branch. Apart from me, you can do not something. Look at your scripture. What is it? You can do nothing. You can do nothing. I can pull off lots of stuff. Most of us have energies and flesh to last a lifetime. We'll work hard, slave hard, you know, love more, care more, share more, to try more. We'll do it all. We have an amazing capacity to work out of our own flesh and ability, especially if you have grade A flesh. Now, you know the difference, right? There's average flesh, and then there's flesh that is super flesh. That there are people can really pull off. It seems like they can really pull off the Christian life. They can go to meetings forever. They memorize the verses. They try hard. They seem to, you know, they lead in the singing. They do this. They got amazing flesh. Most of us have loser flesh. Where we don't even try. Most of us are so defeated, we don't even try. We just, not ever going to happen in my life, so I'll just show up once in a while. But if let's just say that we have the average kind of flesh, we still end up relying on our flesh. There's a lesson here. A lesson. Without him, by the way, as I walked over here this morning, what I found myself saying, if you wouldn't walk it with me, you would have heard me say it. I said, Lord, even here today, I cannot produce what this congregation needs here today. I can give it a good try. And I know the language of Zion. And I know the Christianese. I know all the things that we're supposed to know. But Jesus said, you cannot, without me, doing it through you, speaking through you here this morning, you can do nothing. Not something, nothing. Boy, that frees us. I can't do anything, nothing. Not without him. It's a kind of a collective sigh, isn't it? Say, oh, I can do nothing. Then we have to ask the question, then why am I laboring so hard? Why am I trying so difficult with such difficulty? You see, it's not the power, but the faith and the will that are usually wanting. The hardest part, I suppose, the hardest part to make, say, well, how does it now, how do you bring that home? How do you make it work on Monday morning, on Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday? Well, that's a very good question. Because the hardest part, if there is a hard part of something, this is it. It's the surrender of myself. Myself That's the most difficult. Because for some reason, there's this insatiable desire to try that I think I really could pull it off if I was given another chance. I think I could do that. How do I know it? Because I meet people all the time that are living with great effort. Their Christian life is a life of effort. And I've met people, I have no desire to be like that. Because I can feel, to me, I feel they're trying so hard, and they end up being religious, which is a horrible plight. To be religious, to be, you know, they think that, you know, being a good Christian is the secret. It's not the secret. It's got nothing to do with anything. Letting Christ live through you is everything. And yet that's how the enemy comes, to get me to operate out of my flesh rather than to rely on the Spirit. Because Jesus had one thing in mind, just rely on me. Rest in me. Lean in me. Refuse to do anything without me. Wow. So who doesn't want to live the Christian life if that's what it's about? If it's about him working through me and not me working for him. We're not working for God. He's never wanted you to work for him. He never had that in mind for you to work with him or in me either. Yet always his plan was to save you apart from yourself. What part did you play in your salvation? Pretty well nothing. Right? You tried. You probably did some religious things for a while because that's how you were raised. But it's not until you give up. That sounds so crazy, right? Say, boy, they're all going to run amok. You start saying things like that. But it's true. It's true. So the enemy comes along to make me try to work out of my own strength and ability. And of course, there's some truth. You can accomplish some things. I would suspect that in some cases, there are entire churches that have been built on effort. And the fire day will reveal that we worked pretty hard. It was accomplished through our zeal, rather than our trusting and yielding to the Lord. Living a life of love. See, this great and wonderful God of ours wants to live out his own life in us. So this was always his plan, that he would save us from our sins and forgive us from everything we've ever done, past, present, and future. And then that we would allow him to do what he wanted, to work through us, a lifetime of working, of allowing Christ to work through you. How exciting. How wonderful. No wonder, you know, you'd never be able to, if you catch this, you'll never be able to stop witnessing, because it's not about you anymore, it's about him. You say, oh God, thank you. Thank you for not making it difficult, you made it impossible. So grateful. So grateful for the grace of God, that not only the grace of God that saves me, but the grace of God that keeps me and sanctifies me. With the same amount of effort, I simply was a matter of faith and it brought me to Christ. And now it's simply a matter of faith and it brings us to him working through us. And the only times that I find that the only times that I fail is that when I take my eyes off of the Savior. And then I stumble every time. Every time I stumble. Because I took my eyes off of the Lord and put them on me or on something else. And, of course, I end up being much of a defeated life. He can only live through us as we live in love. We can only live in love as Christ lives out his life in us. And so I bring back again these two concepts. One, this is how you approach this. This is how the Christian, and I think this is how the Christian life is approached. First of all, a faith that he is in us, and he will do a divine work in us. I'll say that again. We have a faith that he is in us. You are the temple of the Lord. You are the vine. And that's what that's where we draw strength from that. He's in us. And he's quite prepared to do a divine work in sanctifying me and making his purposes known in us and through us. Pretty exciting. There's nothing like it. There is nothing like the Christian life. You could bring anything you want, every other religion of the world, and it would be about what you do for God without failure. I guarantee you that's what you'll discover. And what is this? Someone said, isn't this the same? This is totally different. This is him doing it all as he did it. So it's not do. It's yield. Done. It's already done. 2,000 years ago it was done. The work is finished. And we just begin to rejoice and live for him, not out of our own strength. Oh, always turning away wherever we have to. So a faith that he is in us, that's where the source comes. Say, who's going to? We all see that the work has to be done. We all get this, right? We see that. That's not the problem. But the question, who's going to do the work? It's him working in us, sanctifying us, making his purposes known in us and through us. So work still gets done, but it's done differently. The power source is different. Before, it was you working hard for God. Well, you can forget that and just turn it all over to him and say, Lord, I've been trying to live for you when all this time you wanted to live through me, in me and through me. And so therefore you get up in the morning and say, thank you, Lord. It's not I, but Christ. Praise God. These are wonderful thoughts and truth. It's all about you. It's fantastic. So that's the first thing, a faith that the Lord lives in us. So that's that whole thing about the vine, trusting and relying. And secondly, that he quietly waits to realize his presence. That we quietly wait to realize his presence. To hush our own thoughts and to crush all other natural activity. I remember one time, not so long ago, a few months ago, that there was a kind of a difficult phone call that had to be made. You know, everybody's had those difficult phone calls. And you know that it's not going to go, so you're kind of anxious about the whole thing. And I could remember finally just say, you know, I'm just pacing back and forth, oh boy, that's not going to go well. And I said, what am I doing? I'm working, trying to work something out here, it seems. And so I literally knelt down and said, Lord, I'm not going to do this. I want you to go to the phone, and I'll trust you that what will happen, that I won't react, that I won't get out of sorts in any way, I won't get working through myself and thus causing a reaction. Lord, just let your love flow through me, let your joy, let your peace. So I dialed the number, and this person, sure enough, they backed the truck up, and not much you can do, just wow. But where is my natural flesh might have said, hey, what's going on here? I don't have to tell. I just said, is there anything else you'd like to share? I couldn't believe I said that. Is there anything else you'd like to share? And no, they said, that's fine. I said, well, I'm really sorry this happened and that happened. So, and you know, when I hung up, I said, it was you. You were working through me. I wasn't trying to make something happen. I was relying on the Savior. Now, if you and I live like that from now till when Jesus comes, you will live a life of joy and gratitude. It's not you trying to grit your teeth and live for God. You know, trying to, I got to make this thing happen. No, it'd be good if you gave up. Be good if you stopped and let him. See, it's not that it's a passive thing. We're not like sitting waiting for a bus. It's not like that at all. It's a very active thing. Moment by moment, as you get in your vehicle, thank you, Jesus. Thank you for today. Thank you for watching over me. Thank you for watching me. Thank you, Lord. What a great day we're going to have today. You know, get to work, something else, kind of a bit of a challenge. Say, oh, Lord, this is pretty big. I'm not up for this. I'm not up for anything on the whole agenda for the day. Who could? That's just so stressful. So I give that over to you. Every bit of it, every part of it, I give to you. Now you work in me and through me. Please, Lord, don't let me work out of my own strength, because I know I'll make a wreck of it. I'll make a mess of it. It won't be what God wants it to be. But can you imagine if you surrendered it? Starting with yourself. Surrendering yourself, and then secondly, refusing to please the Lord, at least in your own effort. And then just each moment of the day, as things happen, you find yourself surrendering. Now, some days you have more victory than other days. Isn't that true? You know, there were some days are just simpler for whatever reason. And so there will be moments, but as the weeks go by and the months go by, you become more understanding of how this works and the way that it works. So I made this statement. So we give him time, it might just be moments, but we give him time and we give him an opportunity to fill the temple. To fill the temple. I wrote, oh, how important it is to place ourselves before him. Lord, I place myself before you. I can't, if it's me trying to get it right, I'm never going to get it right. And I just know that. I just know from my track record, if it's up to me, I'm never going to get this right. I'll lose my temper, I'll get upset, I'll get discouraged, I'll get overwhelmed. There'll be something. Something will happen, will trip me up. But Lord, if it's up to me, it's not ever going to be what you... I can try. If you want me to try, Lord, you want me to try, I'll give it a whirl. I've had 40 years of it, but I'll give it one more whirl if that's what it takes. And then all of a sudden, the Lord will speak into your heart and you say, what are you talking about? I've never asked you to work for me, ever. I've always wanted to work through you, if you let me. Oh, could it be? Is this really how it is, or is the other shoe going to drop? Say, I fooled you. No, you get to work, and you work hard. I saw a bumper sticker. It says, work hard, Jesus is coming. I don't think that's really how that's supposed to go. We're not working harder because Jesus is coming. We're working hard because we're letting him work through us every day of the year. So simply depending utterly on the Lord to use us as a channel. That's really what I'm talking about here. Is that we become channels. And the most important thing is that the channel is open so the Lord can flow with his life and his energy and his strength and his ability and everything can flow through us. See, simply depending utterly on the Lord to use us. The Lord would say to all of us, don't fret. Don't worry about the results. But simply keep the channels open. Just keep it open. Lord, am I open to you today and all that you want to do? Let my life flow through you, Jesus. Then you will bear fruit naturally. Just naturally. Without strain and without drain, without either. You see, we don't have to perform, but only to keep the channels open. And if you keep the channel open, God will do the rest. Your job is to let him. My job is to let him. That's what he's wanted to do. Again, read it again, John 15. Great, powerful, powerful verse. And so we say, here I am, Lord. What would you have me to do today? Here I am. If you will, put yourself at my disposal in every situation. Then we won't have to be anxious about anything or concern ourselves about possession. By the way, one of the ways I can tell that I'm fretting is because I feel anxious. How many here have been anxious? Yeah, me too. Some situation made me anxious. I was worried about how that's going to work out, how that's going to work out, how that's going to work out. And I found myself fretting. But Val said, no, you're worrying. You're fretting. And looking back, I think I probably was. But not to be anxious about anything, but concern ourselves, whether it's possessions or power or success, it will all be the Lord's. And we end up, how does this kind of a life lead you to? Well, you end up with a calm, possessed life. Calm, possessed life. A simple lifestyle, because throughout the day and days, you are giving it over. In the morning, you get up, and you won't always remember. I won't always remember. It doesn't even matter, actually. But say, Lord, here I am. Thank you. Do what you want to do through me today. There's a lot that has to be done. Lord, so much. So many lives to be encouraged. So many people to be strengthened. Lord, it's a lot. A lot going on. And the Lord says, yes, yes. A lot going on. Now do it in my strength. And you see, you only have to do that which the Spirit tells us to do. We can't do it all. You might try, but you won't. You won't succeed in it. But you follow the Spirit. Let the Spirit guide you as what needs to be done today. And you'll end up with this calm, possessed life. I believe that with all my heart. All my heart. But there needs to be a time when you, A, surrender to Him, and B, that you stop working in your own strength. And so my little power doesn't matter. His resources do. And we come to Acts chapter 9 and verse 10. And Ananias, if you remember that great story, he has a vision. And he said in the vision to the Lord, this great line, "Here am I, Lord. Here am I, Lord." That's the secret. That I believe that with all of my heart, that's the secret. Today and every day I shall say, and I trust that you will say, today and every day I will say, "Here I am, Lord. Here I am, Lord," and then all else is your responsibility. Here I am, Lord. Everything else is your responsibility. That's the secret. That's how you live a life of victory. While you find yourself with oodles and oodles of joy, thanksgiving in your heart, because that's how this thing is supposed to be lived. Here I am, Lord. The rest is your responsibility. And what's his response to that? He's waiting for that for years. For you to say, "Here I am, Lord. The rest is yours. I can give myself to you, but I can't save people. I can't rescue people. I can't get them to do it and get it right. They never get it right. Most people don't get it right. And here we are called to love them and care for them. There are people that are very hard to love. Come on, it's not just me. There's some very difficult people. Is there not? Yes, there is. They're difficult. And so we have to say, "Here I am, Lord. The rest is up to you. Because I haven't got what it takes. But you will live your life through me if I yield totally to you." And thus we define what this life is about. And again, perfectly? No, it's not perfect. It's not perfect because I take my eyes off of the Lord. It's not perfect because you take your eyes off the Lord. But it's pretty wonderful. It's pretty wonderful because it's about Him working and not me working. It's about Him, me picking up the things that I need to hear from Him and listening for the Spirit each day. Oh, Holy Spirit, let me hear your voice. Let me hear your voice. Today and every day, Lord, I shall say, "Here I am, Lord." All else is your responsibility. Right to the end. Right to the time when you feel His arms around you and we're safe at home. In the meanwhile, this is how our lives are led. This is how the life works, in my understanding of it. You might have a better revelation. I'd love to hear that, because that would be helpful. But all I know is that after years and years and years, I know it's about that you must get rid of your own self-effort and allow Jesus to live his life in you and through you. In me and through me. What's my part? To trust. What's his part? To do it. Don't get confused with this. Don't get your part, his part. My part is to yield. That's always been it. As I yielded for in salvation and gave my heart to Christ, invited him in, and I was born again. But even then, he says, turn to me. Look and live. And I did, and I was saved. And then he says, okay, now for the rest of your life, just look to me. As you, the same way you got saved, now allow your sanctification to be worked in the same way. What a life this produces. Such a great thing. I don't have to worry about my neighbor. Not this neighbor. She's on the other side. I don't have to worry about my neighbor. Because that's I can't save my neighbor. I can love them. I can say, here am I, Lord. Do what you want to do. But I have I have no problem recommending. I can recommend this life to you. You'll never ever be sorry that you gave your life to Christ. That's how good this is, right? That's how good this is. And I find out the more I live for him, as the years go on, the more I love him and serve him, the better it gets. I thought it was good before, and it was. It's better now. I discover now what great grace there is. Oh, the grace of our Lord. And imagine spend the rest of your days just witnessing and sharing the Lord. Wherever you could, wherever God says, speak to this person. Don't cry. Your voice is too loud. Soften your voice. I say, what? He said, yeah. Many times, because I'm a noisy kind of a kid, I was a kid, and my mother used to say, lower your voice. You're so loud. And so sometimes in a conversation, I can find myself, I'm all excited, and I'm getting, and I felt the Holy Spirit say, lower your voice. No. What was that about? It's just because I was wrecking the witness part. I was so excited trying to tell him the whole Bible that I was wrecking it. But the Holy Spirit trusted even to say, lower your voice. See how fantastic this is? Another time, there'll be, you know, pray for so-and-so. They need your prayer right now. Just pray. So you pick up the tune from the Spirit, and you pray right there at that moment, right where you were, where you felt the Lord say something. And you live that life. So let's stand. Do we have 3 minutes for anybody has a question? You're not going to stand. I just wanted you to stretch. You've been sitting for such a long. It's not a trick. I just thought you've been sitting for a while. Anybody have a question just that you'd like to, or a comment that you'd like to, what you have discovered? We'll just be here for a minute. What you have discovered about the victorious Christian life? Maybe not. Maybe you. We'll just wait a moment. If not, we'll assume that you've answered all your own questions and mine. I think, again, we never strive for perfection. We aim for just yieldness, just to be yield ourselves to God. And we can do that. So, Lord, here we are. We surrender ourselves to you. And Lord, we shall say forever and ever, here am I, Lord. All else is your responsibility. Thank you. I'm so grateful, God, for invading my life, coming to live inside of me, and then wanting to live your life through me. Lord, I've probably been too repetitious here today, but I pray that there would be great delight would come over all of us when we realize what a great salvation this is. And we'll thank you and praise you right till you come. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you for being here this morning. We want to bring our guest here today out to the coffee part where you'll be at the back of the... Do you have stuff at the back to show? No. Okay, just as long as you get a coffee. Thank you for being here. We'll meet you on the patio.